Welcome to Icons Behind Brands. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on social media platforms. Now, let's get started.
Hello everyone, this is Devlina, your host, welcoming you all to an exciting and power-packed episode of Icons Behind Brands. And I'm thrilled to announce our guest for today, a powerhouse of energy and knowledge. She has over 26 years of experience in partnering brands and businesses in India and have worked with across categories on leading brands with multinational and local brand. To name a few, ITC, Hamdard, Tata Steel, Imami, ZTV, Pepsi, Airtel and many more. She also has a rich experience in across markets of India, Nepal, Sri Lanka, South Africa and Kenya. I welcome Ms. Suman Verma, who is the Chief Marketing Officer at Hamdard Laboratories. A warm welcome to you, Suman.
Thank you so much.
So I would love to know, I'm so excited with this particular episode. And I would love to know about your background and journey, Suman. I mean, over the period of time, what are the changes you have seen, challenges you have seen? So we would love to know that.
Okay. Let me just begin by saying that I didn't join the industry keeping in mind that I was going to be an advertising marketing professional. So I think in life, I always know what I don't want to do, but I don't really know what I want to do. So that's where my journey began. While I was studying, I think a stage show or a play that I had seen in Calcutta, which was called The Children of the Lesser God, you know, it sort of mesmerized me so much that I was determined that I had to learn sign language because that was a tool of communication. And, I used to study in St. Xavier's College, and right across our street was oral school for deaf kids. And one day I gathered enough courage to walk up to them and I said that, look, I'd love to come and teach. And they looked at me and they said I was one scrawny little thing. And they said that, you talk too much. How would you communicate with them? And I said that, well, you give me a chance because I'm here to learn what is called sign language. And I didn't know anything much about that. And that's how my whole journey in the world of communication began. Because the nonverbal communication to me was such a powerful way of trying to understand how the not so privileged knew how to communicate, right? And I think over a period of time, after I graduated and I went to do my master's, I still taught them. So in all, I had worked for 3 years with them. And, I thought I was teaching them, but in turn, I realized that they taught me, the kids taught me so much. The whole power of resilience, the ability to conquer the world, to be able to dance to the sound waves that they get when they're dancing on a wooden floor. It was amazing. You know, it was so powerful. And it just sort of always made me feel that, you know, we are under leveraging ourselves because these guys have so much potential. And I think one thing led to another, and I was in front of the manager in JWT Calcutta because, again, I had seen a play and my friends used to work there and they said that, oh, you have to come and see this person. He's so good. His communication skills are fantastic. I think by then I had realized that communication is something that I really was interested in. And I think a chance meeting led to me joining JWT. And it was almost like the nonverbal communication now had to be complemented with the verbal communication. And that's how my journey began. So even before I had passed out of university, I was working with JWT. And I thought, you know, because I was quite good in fine arts, so I said, let me do a design course that may just sort of help me. And I was still not sure what I wanted to do in JWT, but I thought maybe I wanted to be an art director. And, you know, I tried something, dabbling with it. And, you know, that is something that I learned in life, that people who have no experience, no knowledge are the ones who give you the maximum input and you want to smash them that time. And then I sort of found my place and I joined account management, and then there was no looking back. So I sort of continued my journey with JWT for 23 years. And yeah, that was really, and you know, no amount of, I think I worked on fantastic brands, you know. So I worked for a very long time with ITC. I think I worked about 18 years with them. I felt more ITC and less JWT because I think, you know, I spent my living times with them. And it was absolutely the most fantastic ride because they were an amazing client. And then, of course, in Calcutta, I did a lot of brand building out there with small, mid-sized and everything. But I think quite early on in life, I realized that there's nothing called a small client and a big client. A big client perhaps has more money to spend, is more structured and has a lot more knowledge sharing to do. And versus a local client who may be wanting to spread the wings, they give you a lot more bandwidth to play with. So I really had a great ride with them. So, yeah. And I think, yeah, so after having done that bit in advertising, I got a chance to work with my client. So Hamdard has been my client also for 15 years. And yeah, so, you know, when I decided to do something different, I had two or three of my clients saying that, you know, come and join us. And I think I was so passionate about their brands that, you know, I was lucky, I must say. So, yeah, I didn't want to stop at that. So I said that now I wanted to try my hand at the board, because, you know, women representation in the boards now in corporate world has become exciting. So I joined a board. I also work with the Sherry Blair Foundation, which is for business entrepreneurs. So I am an alumni mentor there. And I also work with an outfit, which is called Beyond Boundaries. This is a part of, you know, a Mauritian government and Australian High Commission. They do this mentorship program. So I'm part of that. So I quite enjoy that, actually. It's great. It's there is some learning to be done at every given point in time.
So here, how to create a mix of creativity and technologies in today's marketing world?
Technology is a medium. Creativity is art. If your art, again, is based on great storytelling, great song and dance, great narratives, great consumer behavior insights, it is bound to work, right? So I think that's one reason why people are seeking so much content. You know, they're looking for that content. And if it connects with the TG that they're wanting to reach out to, it's going to work. So I don't think technology or medium is ever a constraint. I don't think so.
So see, it's something which complements each other. I mean, technology is...
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does.
And how we as a human, we are putting our creativity with the use of technology, that is what is going to make some difference.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, for a creative person, digital medium is a great technology platform. For the simple reason that earlier, the constraint was that tell a story in 30 seconds. Keep the brand at the heart of it, right? In the digital medium, your formats can be long also. Though now digital comes back and says, if your brand can't tell a story in 5 seconds, you know, it's not working. Then the reels have come. Now reels and short videos have become the way things are. If you, I was reading somewhere that in Uttaranchal and in UP, the young kids would wake up to TikTok until TikTok went away. But, you know, so people are looking for different kind of content. So there's nothing right or wrong in it. If you can wake up smiling, looking at a TikTok, which is so funny, great thing, you're spreading happiness first thing in the morning. But it just depends on what you're all about. So I don't think that that, to me, as a person who has transitioned from the conventional media, you know, the traditional advertising platforms of television, radio, print into the digital world, I have not found that a constraint, because I feel that it's just the medium that has changed, and it's not taken the creativity away at all. The brand story is told slightly differently, but that's about it.
Yeah. And I feel it's a new opportunity opened. I mean, see, we have, and we already have that, and now we have the technology also, and so vast, and technology is evolving. So this is again complementing each other. Only thing we have to get confused with so much of options.
Yes, true. I get it.
So let's talk about personal branding, Suman. How important it is in today's scenario of brand building?
It just helps you to tell your story better about your organization, about the brand, about the product, about you know, the credibilities that you want to attach with that you do for the company that you work on. So in that respect, I think it is it's not a bad idea to have a bit of personal branding, but overt personal branding, I'm not sure.
True. Yeah. Yeah, it helps, you know, people to connect with you better. So as a CMO, I mean, it's a senior position, it's a big position. So what are the principles do you rely upon during the toughest moment as a CMO?
I really don't have a tough time. I just enjoy what I do. So I don't know. I guess a lot of times I mean, I'm just talking if it's a brand that I have to be working on. Then I'd like to do my homework. I'd like to do a bit of spade work. I still go out and meet a lot of consumers on the road. I wouldn't just take everybody's word for granted that this is the only way to doing it. Because a lot of what you need to do for your brand comes from your consumer learning. So I can tell you, I mean, just to give you an example, yesterday I think I spent my entire day walking the streets of, you know, Old Delhi, trying to understand how an auto rickshaw wala or a pushcart vendor person, what are the things that he does for his nutrition? Where are the gaps in his nutrition and how could that be bridged? Though there is a research document which has come, but the point is that, you know, a lot of times when you're talking to consumers, you get a different perspective. It just helps you to understand how your brand can be positioned in his mindset. And I think that's the biggest challenge, because marketing is not just about, you know, taking X amount of money and then amplifying your brand thought, but it's also about getting the right insight into taking your brand where it must go. So, yeah. And I just feel that, you know, as an advertising person, my biggest grudge has always been that, what does this client tell me that I don't know? I want to hear from him what I don't know about his own brand, right? So, I mean, having been an ad agency person, I try not to come across like a person who hasn't said something more than what, you know, a normal brief should say. Yeah. So I do a lot of consumers. So I think that helps to get your consumer understanding. It also helps to never underestimate the your competition, because they must be doing something so right and so correct. So study them. So I do that as well.
True. I really liked it, the idea, Suman. I mean, the moment you said ki, there is no toughest moment, because I always enjoy my work. So I feel that
I do
start enjoying what you are doing, even if it looks tough, but you enjoy it. I mean, you do it with so much passion and intensity that it becomes your adventure. And
yeah, that's right.
Adventure is also the tough part, but we choose it and we enjoy it. So I just like the idea of being, you know, how you change the perspective and you're living that every moment in your life.
Yes. You know, and I'll tell you, I mean, I remember that when I was working with ITC and I worked on one particular brand for 18 years, I used to surprise myself that I could look at the brand again differently the next morning. And I think, you know, it perhaps comes from the fact that when people talk about brands and they say brands are like people. So it is so correct that brands must be like, they must be like human beings, because you discover a different facet of that brand every morning. You know, so you always jot down and say, okay, this is something I could explore the next time I have to do something different. So I don't know, at least that is something that I've enjoyed, and perhaps that's the only reason why I'm still in this business, or else
yeah, that's very insightful, Suman, because you see, this might be natural to you, but this could be a learning for many people, including me, that whether are you able to see a new angle and a different way to your brand and the kind of work which you are doing. And this is how, you know, you develop your passion, you develop your interest towards that particular brand. And when you are connected, that's when, you know, you start living that. And
see, it's like a relationship, right? Every morning you will discover something new about your child, even if the child is very predictable in many ways. You could still, as a mother, say that maybe I need to try this out with him or her to know that, you know, it'll give me a different response from him. So it's like, you know, you're discovering different facets, and it happens. It definitely happens.
Yeah. This example and metaphor, Suman, I mean, see, you never get bored with your child, with the relationships, right? You find you're always excited about the new things. Every morning you're excited about, oh my God, see, this is what they did and they're doing it. This is the new thing you discovered.
Yes, sure.
I think, I mean, it is opening a lot of, you know, doors in my mind about the perception on particular brand and about the work and about the style as well.
No, but I think that it's not something so unique to me. This is something with anybody who stayed in the business for that long. I guess you would do that. And I mean, perhaps I'm articulating it, but that's how it would be for anyone. You know, you start living your brand and you see it in a different light. That's about it.
Right. But again, you know, I mean, people like you, when they talk about it, it actually give a lot of power to, you know, the aspiring managers and entrepreneurs. See, me being an entrepreneur, I know, I mean, I have been living my own company from past 7 years, and I feel so excited. And even if it is Saturday or Sunday, I love to work. I mean, it's not a work for me. It's just like, I mean, I'm just... It's a holiday for me. I don't feel like
actually,
it.
Yeah, actually, you know, you're so correct. Even I can be like that. I can have watched a movie till 1 in the night and still start writing something on a brand piece from 2 o'clock. And it doesn't sort of get to me. It doesn't. I'm more than happy. And unless I put it down somewhere in a piece of paper that these are the thoughts that I need to expand on, I'll just feel that I would perhaps lose my thought. So I just quickly jot it down and keep it parked aside so that when I have the time, I'm going to write it down properly and be ready for the next day. But I do that.
Superb. Even I write all my, I mean, next day work early in the, I mean, a day before in the night. And as you said, ki, I mean, even if you are getting, wake up till 1 o'clock next day morning, you can start off. It happens, you know, I mean, it happens. And we realize when somebody else asks, how can you do this?
Yes.
Extra we did. We are just normal. I mean, we are just doing what we are supposed to do, right?
Sure, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's when you reflect, okay, kuch hua hoga, probably.
Yeah.
So, Suman, with that, now we are moving to a very interesting section, which is a rapid fire round. Okay, so in this section, it is, you know, it is an opportunity to know you as a person a little more. And you can answer either in one word or, you know, maximum in one sentence. Yeah, so we are good to go.
Shoot.
Okay, so tell me something which nobody knows about you.
I'm Imelda Marcos. I have a passion for footwear.
Oh,
it's only those who have noticed will know that I'm passionate. Otherwise, confession.
It's you who knows.
Yeah, it's me.
So describe yourself in one word.
Restless person.
So what motivates you to get out of the bed in the morning?
Work, meeting, meeting more people. But yeah, work, basically work. That motivates.
Texting or talking?
Both.
Early in the morning or late in the night?
Night.
Biggest accomplishment this year?
I think I utilized the lockdown well, and I learned to do 3 courses with LinkedIn. And that, to my mind, was great, because I always feel that knowledge gaps need to be filled. So I managed to do that. And yeah, so that was my biggest accomplishment. I did not waste my time.
I think, yeah, that is the key, that, you know, learning never ends, and learning makes you more connected, more agile, and more younger, more flexible, of course.
True.
So what is the one leadership lesson you learned on the go as a people leader?
I mean, nothing new that I learned, but it's something that I believe in, that you have to lead from the front. While delegation is great, but you know, in today's world, you have to be able to lead. And when I say lead, just roll your sleeves and show them this is how you would do it. Because if you can show them how you would do it, others will follow. So that's how I do.
Super. And you know, I mean, each and every answer of yours, it is, you know, pushing me back to thinking process, and then realizing, coming back again. I mean, so, I mean, each and everything has so much power. And so, I mean, it is carrying so much insights for people like us. So I'm really enjoying it throughout. So what leader would your team say that you are?
I think if you were to ask my team, they'd say I'm a taskmaster. Yeah, but I think they all know that I'm a people's person, but I push them. Yeah.
It's important. So, it's a common goal, right?
No, since we are talking, and that, you know, this could be a handy tip for the world, the younger people in schools, I would definitely want to say this, because this is something I keep saying this to all my team members, that look, I may just sort of take you apart for not having done this work, and therefore I lead and show you this is how I want it to be done and this is how it has to be done. But do remember that I'm not saying this to make you feel small, because I'm going to be out of the system because I'm old. You're the young who's going to lead the way. So if you've not learned anything, you know, tomorrow you shouldn't be leading some an organization and not being able to build a strong second and a third line. For me, it's very important to have built a very strong second and third line, because somebody built me, right? Somebody built me. And when I was given that much responsibility and given so much of trust to be able to deliver, I pushed myself, so I want others to push themselves as well. So I think that's something everybody has to know it, because no success comes to you that easy. You have to work for that.
Right. And you know, I mean, with that context, what I feel is like, when you hire somebody, when you have team members, they are your responsibility as well. You just don't want to waste their time in the organization just to come and go. They should learn, and when they grow, when they go and, you know, join some leadership position, and you feel ki at least you have contributed on their growth. So it makes you feel so good. I mean, that is the only thing I mean, I feel is very, very
important. Yeah, you're still being kind. You're being kind. I'm very unkind. I say, don't waste my time. Wasting your time is your prerogative. You can go ahead and waste your time, but then you can't waste my time. If I'm investing my time in you, you better learn. You know, because I think that my bosses who built me are people I'm still in touch with, and I still look at them with a lot of awe, and I feel that, you know, they taught me some things. So 30 years hence, if you can still look up to those people and say, wow, they made me what I am today, you have to have that gratitude, because you pick something. You know, that is something I think a lot of people, today's kids, are looking for shortcut. And I think that shortcut does not work. At least it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. There is no shortcut for success. I have realized it to the core, and even I follow the same principle. I tell my team there is no shortcut. I mean, if you're working, then I mean, this is how it is. Success is keeping. I mean, it is here. You just have to go and cross the path and take it. I mean, it's for everybody. The rules are
sure. Absolutely. Yes, I get it.
So one key learnings that you have picked up from your team.
They have a fabulous attitude. It's always a service with a smile. You know, that is a great quality to have.
So one book or any podcast you would like to recommend marketers?
You know, I think your basics have to be first understood. After that, you can follow any great guru that you want to follow, right? I think your basics in marketing, your basics in advertising, whether it is, you know, the basics from Ogilvy and Mather, that if you were to follow that, whether you follow, you know, Jack Ma, you follow anybody, you just decide who you want to follow. But your basic principles, if you have gotten to knowing this is how a brand is to be built, this is how the marketing has to be done, this is how your basic principles are in place. The rest is for you to identify and say, who do you want to follow? Actually, you know, very honestly, I feel that even our spiritual leaders, they have a lot of marketing principles they follow. Whether you know, once I was, somebody just told me that listen to Sadhguru. If you listen to Sadhguru, oh my God, he can be a marketing guru as well, you know, because there are lots of basics. So you realize that there are certain fundamentals. If those are clear, you can do so much. So I really, I don't follow podcasts as much as I love to read. I feel that, you know, my choice of books is not necessarily your choice of books. So you have to decide what is going to float your boat. But the point is that what I like is the fact that, you know, if your basics on the principles are all understood and gotten, absorbed, then everything else that you learn is just a laddering on that. So I would do that.
Yes. So with that, we are now out of the rapid fire round. And before we wind up the conversation, what is your message for the aspiring brand leaders? Would love to know that.
I would say that, you know, learning never ends. So if you keep filling your knowledge gaps, and knowledge is power, you know, I mean, end of the day, you're hired for bringing a certain skill set and your knowledge on the table. So if you're ahead of the curve, whether you're a senior or a junior, you will always be an asset to the company. And I think in today's day and time, we cannot use lack of time as an excuse for not wanting to learn some new skills, because, you know, you have UpGrad, you have LinkedIn, you have so many online courses. It's not about getting a stamp and seal from a university to say you've learned it, but the very fact that you learn something new is a very valuable tool. And this is the best thing, because, you know, you cannot join an organization and say, but what did I learn from them? The question to ask is, what did I give them? If you have been able to give something, you will get something. But if you've got nothing to give, you will not get anything back in return. So I just feel that knowledge is something that you have to get and give. And that's how you will grow. I remember, you know, my mother saying when we were very young that she used to always tell us that, you know, we worship both Lakshmi and Saraswati. But there is a difference between the two goddesses. Saraswati says, the more you learn, the more you give, the more you'll grow. And Lakshmi says that the more you get, the more you give, the less you'll have, right? So there is a difference. So you have to be Saraswati in that sense, and saying that learn knowledge as much as you can, and then share it, because you will educate somebody else and that knowledge will always grow. So yeah, I think we need to all fill the knowledge gaps that we have. So I think if I at my age can do courses, the younger really need to go all out there and impress and say this is what they bring on the table. So that's all I can say.
Yeah, and I feel we are in the era of, you know, I mean, it's a blessing that now we have everything available in our fingertips. As you said,
yes,
upgrade, we have LinkedIn, and we just have to think about any particular skill or any particular course and we can learn it from scratch within 3 to 6 months. And
yes, that's right. That's right.
About it. So I think it's yes, an era of opportunities, and we have all the, you know, privilege to avail them, and you don't have to spend.
I agree with you.
To just 100%. Be there.
Yes, and it's not that you're paying through your nose either, you know.
Yeah.
So that's an amazing thing.
Yeah. And no excuses, as you said, you cannot excuse that lack of time or anything else, because you don't have, I mean, you have enough of time. Only thing you have to prioritize, this is important for you.
You know, during the lockdown, the first lockdown, I think we all reached a stage where we didn't know what was happening to us. And just to keep our mind off a lot of things, so as a group, we all decided that, you know, each of us is going to learn something new. And we made it mandatory. We said that, you know, once you earn your certification, please share it, that this is what you've done. So that, you know, you can't say that you didn't have time. You had all the time in the world, right? So we all did courses, and I did something on millennial marketing. And once, you know, after 3 months, all of us had done these certification courses, we actually cascaded it down. And we said that whatever you've learned, you share it with us. And what I've learned, I'm going to share it with you. And I think, you know, it was a great thing, because it just suddenly it brought everybody on the same page. And we said that, you know, this is great, because there was nothing called a senior teaching a junior and a junior teaching the senior. Everybody was learning. And that was an amazing learning for all of us. I think so that, to my mind, is the biggest learning, that whether you're a young person, you're an old person, as long as you're in the workplace, you need to be able to upgrade your skills. And you don't need to depend on somebody to teach you. You can't say my organization's not training me. It's not a school, you know. You have to come prepared, right? So that's my take.
Sure. That's what, like, I mean, as you said, the journey of, you know, sharing the knowledge and mentoring others and teaching others, I think that the journey, more than you give it to the people and community, it, like, you get it more. Because when
yes,
you teach, you learn. I mean, you clear
I agree
concept which you might have not cleared during the time of course, right?
Yes.
So amazing knowledge sharing, Suman. I think, I mean, each and every topic and point you brought here was insightful and very powerful and precise. And it is going to help a lot of people through this episode. And for me, there are a lot of personal takeaway. And I'm right after this, I mean, I'm going to churn. I know, I mean, I have so many things I have got it from this particular episode. And thank you for your time.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you for being with us till the end. See you all in the next episode.